Tonight, Mr. Charles Laughton stars in South Riding from Studio One at CBS.
May I say, Miss Burton, that I find you rather insolent, and if you expect me to support any extravagant demands for remodeling the school, you will be disappointed.
Then we know where we stand, don't we?
We invite you to Studio One, radio's celebrated playhouse of dramatic entertainment, featuring the world's great novels, stories, and plays in special versions for listening. And now to introduce tonight's great story, here is the director of Studio One, Fletcher Markle.
Almost exactly 1 year ago at this hour, I had the privilege and the pleasure of introducing the initial broadcast in our Studio One series. And now tonight, 52 weeks and 52 productions later, we have an anniversary on our hands. We'd like to celebrate it and indicate our grateful appreciation of your interest, many kind letters, by going on before and as usual. End of thank you note. Tonight, our story is a gentle landscape of English country life based on Winifred Holtby's magnificent novel, South Riding. In England and the Shire of York, there is an East, West, and North Riding. And though Miss Holtby's South Riding is entirely imaginary, it is no less real than its actual counterparts. In this portrait of a community which Miss Holtby completed just before her tragic death, we are concerned with the incidentals of schools, housing, taxes, public health, which are, according to the author, the first line defense against the common enemies of poverty, ignorance, and affliction. A war worth fighting, the valiant fight for human happiness. We are not, after all, single individuals face to face with eternity. We are members of one another. Starring tonight in our version for listening of South Riding, we are fortunate once again to have with us in Studio One one of the most accomplished actors of our time, Mr. Charles Laughton, who is playing Robert Kahn. And with Mr. Laughton, you'll be hearing one of the really great actresses of radio, Miss Hester Sondergaard, as Sarah Burton, who tells the story. With Everett Sloan as Mr. Snaith and Hedley Rennie as Deacon Huggins. Please to begin.
The day I returned to the South Riding, the air was azure blue, and in the sunlight of that crisp September morning, the ripening cornfields and the gleaming river turned to gold before my eyes. Oh, lovely world, I thought, quite forgetting that I was Miss Sarah Burton, spinster schoolmarm, on my way to beg for a job before the county council. I loved the world that morning, and everybody in it. And I fear I drove my car with reckless speed down the country road past open fields and under clustering trees. For suddenly I found myself surrounded by hounds and horses and gentlemen in pink. It was at that moment I first heard the haughty voice of Mr. Robert Kahn.
Hey, you! You know that you're trespassing.
Am I trespassing? The gates were open, and I thought this was the way to Maythorpe.
It's not you so much as your motor car. Who are you anyway? Don't you know any better than to drive full speed into the middle of a fox hunt?
I'm sorry.
Blasting your horn and startling the horses?
I'm sorry you feel upset, but really, if the yelping of those dogs doesn't frighten the horses, nothing will.
Dogs?
I beg your pardon. Hounds.
Ah, that's better now. I thank you very much to go away. Whoever you are.
I certainly shall. You there. Young man.
Yes, miss, what is it?
Do you mind telling me something? Who was that very impolite gentleman that just came up to speak to me?
For which gentleman, miss?
Over there. He's talking to that elderly lady, you see?
Boy, that's Mr. Robert Kahn of Maythorpe Hall. He's a county councillor.
Oh, dear. Is that the famous Mr. Kahn?
And the lady is Alderman Mrs. Beddoes, head of the school board.
Oh, thank you, young man. I think I'll be on my way.
Nice of you to come round, Mrs. Beddoes, to see us start. It's a grand day for hunting, isn't it?
That's why I'm here, Robert. The weather is too beautiful. I don't want you to get so interested in hunting foxes that you'll forget my committee. There's a meeting of the school board this afternoon, to appoint a new headmistress for Kiplington School, and I want you there.
Mrs. Beddoes, this is my last day to ride as master. Don't spoil it for me.
Now, Robert.
Oh, I shall be there if we land up a fox within reason.
One thing more. What's all this nonsense about Midge being too delicate to go to high school?
Ah, that's true. Midge is difficult, and good schools cost money. And money is something I haven't much of these days. It appears that I am an impoverished country gentleman on my uppers, as they say.
I know it's not easy for you to send your daughter to school with children of shopkeepers and common laborers. But times are changing, Robert. We've got to change with them.
Mrs. Beddoes, do you see that little bay mare, Castle My Groom, is riding her? Isn't she a beauty?
Yes, I like a touch of Irish in a horse.
Oh, she's graceful and perfect. I'm showing her off today. If I can get £150 for her, Midge can go to a decent school.
Good luck to you, then.
You see, I'm not so much a sportsman these days as a salesman exhibiting merchandise.
Poor Robert.
Poor indeed. But now, goodbye. We're ready to start. I shall be riding Black Hussar. Keep your eye out for me.
Goodbye, Robert. Good hunting.
Castle!
Aye. Yes, sir.
Is she bucking a bit?
She'll be all right when we've taken tickle out of her feet. Easy, lass, easy.
When we come to a broad field, put her straight at the first thorn hedge. I want them all to see how beautifully she works.
Aye, sir, I will. Aye-o!
Now, Castle, let's see her jump.
Aye! Look out for that hedge! There's wire!
She's down!
Look out. Look out.
The damage done.
New wire, too.
I better get a gun.
Are you all right, Castle?
Yes, I'm all right.
Let me look at her. I'm afraid it's no use. Her back is broken.
Hey, I'm sorry, sir.
It's not your fault, but if I ever learn what blasted fool put up barbed wire without marking it, I'll...
I can tell you who put up the wire. My tenant did. He did it at my order.
Why, it's our colleague, Alderman Snace. It's good of you to acknowledge it.
You weren't asked, you know, to come galloping over my land.
Don't you see, Mr. Snace, that your decorated carelessness has cost the life of a beautiful mare and hurt a man?
If grown-up men will amuse themselves by riding after one little animal to watch it torn to pieces by dogs, they must take the consequences. She was insured, I suppose.
No, she was not.
It's loaded, sir. Shall I do it?
Give it to me. Poor creature. Aye.
Before we interview the next applicant, do any of the school committee have further questions to ask Miss Sigglethwaite?
No. If I might add a word in my own behalf.
Surely, Miss Sigglethwaite.
I have been very active with the British Mothers Coeducational Concourse. The British Mothers is founded on three principles of action. I am because I can. What I can, I shall. What I can, I will, I shall be. You would be amazed at the result of this program on the child mind.
Yes, thank you. That will be all for now, Miss Sigglethwaite.
Yes.
I'm so sorry to be late.
Here's the tardy Mr. Kahn. You've just missed an interesting interview.
I might add before going that the British Mothers take a very stern view of fox hunting.
Shame on you, Robert, for being late and coming here in your hunting costume, too.
I had a bit of bad luck. I had to kill a mare.
Not the one you showed me?
Yes.
I'm very sorry. We have one candidate left to see. Miss Sarah Burton. Let's hope she's an improvement on the rest.
I was waiting in the anteroom. I saw Miss Sigglethwaite come out, and I'd seen Robert Kahn go in, and I knew the way he passed me by that he was my antagonist. I kept telling myself, Sarah Burton, be dignified. You've got to impress these people. They're no more beautiful, noble, or intelligent than any other subcommittee, so you needn't lose your temper with them. And yet I did, with one of them.
You step in, Miss Burton, please.
How do you do?
Good afternoon.
Please be seated. I'm Mrs. Beddoes. Let me introduce the committee. This is Mr. Snaith.
Very pleased to meet you.
And Mr. Huggins.
Good day to you, Miss Burton.
Mr. Astle.
How do you do?
And Mr. Carn.
Yes, you're the young lady with the motor car, aren't you?
Oh, I didn't know you two had met.
Well, only very briefly.
I see. Well, Miss Burton, we have your history here. Age 39, Oxford, postgraduate course at Leeds. And for the past 8 years, you've been teaching at South London School.
Yes, that's right.
Any questions? Mr. Snaith.
Are you used to controlling a large number of girls?
Well, rather, about 940.
Mr. Huggins?
Excuse me, Miss Burton. Do you use makeup?
Makeup? Well, yes, I do.
Do you think it right for a woman to plaster with paint the face God gave her?
I regard lipstick, Mr. Huggins, as a symbol of self-respect, of interest in one's appearance, of a hopeful and self-assured attitude toward life.
Miss Burton, we had a much better appointment at Flinton Bridge last year. Why didn't you apply for that?
Because I didn't think I should get it. You see, I'm not by birth a lady, and my hair is red. I'm afraid I don't look the sort of person most counselors won't see reading reports on speech day.
Would you care to tell us a little of your family background, Miss Burton?
We were waiting for that question, Mr. Carr.
Yes. I must explain to you, Miss Burton, that I am something of a snob. I always inquire into the family history of our teachers. You see, I have a stable of horses, so I think that breeding is important. That amuses our committee, particularly Mr. Snaith.
Oh, there now, don't take offense.
Mr. Astle here is a socialist, Mr. Huggins a Methodist, and Mr. Snaith a realist. None of them like me.
I'm sure I shall be glad to tell you all about my people, Mr. Carn. I was born here in the South Riding.
Your name is somehow familiar to me.
Perhaps you remember a number of years ago a blacksmith, that Lipton Hunter?
Oh, yes, Burton the blacksmith, I do remember very well.
Yes, of course. My father was celebrated. He was the village drunkard. He drank himself to death. But my mother was fine. She worked hard to see me educated. I'm proud of my mother.
I think that will be all for now, Miss Burton.
Thank you very much.
What made you want to push her like that about her family?
Aye, disgraceful.
I meant no harm.
I say I like her spirit. She's my choice. Mr. Smith?
I vote yes.
Mr. Huggins?
Smith says so, aye.
Mr. Astle?
Aye, of course.
Mr. Carr?
No.
Bigger woman for your words tonight, Deacon Huggins.
Thank you, Sister Snug.
Pray join me in a spot of high tea, Mr. Huggins. Saucer cheesecake and kippers.
Some other time, Sister Peacock. I need to be alone with my thoughts.
Good night, then.
Good night.
Good night, Deacon
Huggins. Alfred Huggins, I've been waiting for you all evening.
Bessie. I saw you weren't in chapel.
Yeah, you've been preaching up there. God's good man, you are. But I know you. And I also know what you've made me.
Come, Bessie, run away now. I shall miss my bus.
It's you who'll run away, but you won't run far, see? I'll write to newspapers, no. I will. I'll write to council. They'll see I'm treated proper.
What do you want me to do?
Pay me £500, that's what. They'll buy me that shot in Station Road.
I haven't got it.
You'll get it. I've had enough of your canoodling.
Bessie, I can't.
£500 and before New Year, Mr. Deacon Huggins.
Let me pour you a sup of tea, Huggins. You don't look too well. Been overdoing things.
I'm worried. That's the top and bottom of it, Mr. Snaith.
Oh, I'm sorry. Family, all right?
Ah, that's it. It's my poor brother, Henry. I don't want it in all the papers, not with me in my position. Of course, money's at the root of it.
They've got him into debt.
Oh, dear me, that is unfortunate.
£500 he owes.
£500?
3 years ago, I'd have had it. 2 years ago, I could have raised it. But these days, I just can't see my way. Oh, my own poor brother.
Well, I dare say it's possible, Huggins. I might be able to help you.
If you only could, Mr. Smith.
Tell me, Huggins, you've never gone in much for real estate, have you?
No, I've stuck to my own business, no sideshows.
But you've doubtless heard of the housing plan that young Astle has put before council.
Yes, and I'm all in favour of it, too. Mr. Snaith, socialism or no socialism, those shacks and slums are a public scandal.
To be sure they are. Now, if I should consider making you this loan, to help that unfortunate brother of yours, perhaps you could do me a favor in return. I have some property I'm developing, Huggins, and if the housing scheme goes through, it might become quite an investment.
There's no funny business, I hope.
No funny business, just business.
Well, I'll help you if I can, Mr. Smith. But I suppose you know your arch-enemy, Robert Carnes, dead set against this housing thing.
Of course he is. He's an old-fashioned Tory, always opposed to progress of any kind.
But his opinion carries great weight with the farmers, don't forget.
It's a pity, being the farmer's spokesman, that he's made such a mess of his own farming, eh?
Has he?
I hear so. Of course, I don't know. Not my affair, after all. But I understand he'll have to borrow heavily if he's to see the year out.
Keeps a full stable, though. He can't resist a good horse.
Aye, but you know what people say? They say he's let the farm go. And when you own the land, it's an obligation, a responsibility to the land.
He's bankrupt, then?
That's what they say. No, I don't think we need be frightened of Mr. Khan that much longer.
Indeed.
Now, I should like you, if you will, to look at the plans I've had made out of the property down by the wastes and help me decide if there might not be somewhat more than amusement in it for both of us.
At Kiplington School on a certain morning early in the term, I, Sarah Burton, answered 22 letters, interviewed a mother whose girl had septic tonsils, inspected a burst water pipe in the basement, and discussed with the cook the merits of brown and wholemeal bread. Another unpleasant experience of the day was a visit from Robert Carn.
Mrs. Burton, good afternoon.
Good to see you, Mr. Carn. Mrs. Beddoes was here only last week and promised to help me get some improvement.
Did she really?
I'd like your help, too. This building is in very bad shape, Mr. Carn. Mm-hmm. How would you like to run a school with a basement full of black beetles? I have to pretend I don't mind, but the girls are simply terrified.
Miss Burton, if there's anything you want, perhaps you'll be good enough to put it before the council in the usual way.
Oh, I see.
What I came to speak to you about, I have decided to allow my daughter Midge to attend your school.
The delicate Midge, I've heard of her.
She's a very high-strung, sensitive child.
I'm not sure that I appreciate the honor, Mr. Carn. What you mean to say is that you can't afford to send Midge to an expensive school, and so you are obliged to put her here.
That is none of your affair.
Any girl who comes to school is my affair.
I only want to be sure that my daughter is treated with proper respect.
She will receive exactly the same consideration as any other girl.
Very well. May I say, Miss Burton, that I find you rather insolent. And if you expect me to support any extravagant demands for remodeling the school, you will be disappointed. Good day to you, Miss Burton.
Good day, Mr. Carn.
Come away from the window, girls. The snow will still be there this afternoon.
Now, I have your notebooks for you. Jill Jackson, nice, careful work, but you don't use your own mind much, do you, Jill?
I try.
Gladys Hubbard?
Yes, miss.
Careless and much too short. I don't believe you tried, Gladys. Midge Carn?
Yes, Miss Burton?
Now, really, Midge. Shakespeare's play is called The Merchant of Venus. The villain's name is Sherlock.
How dare you? Oh, I hate you.
That's very rude, Midge. Please behave. Lydia Holly?
Yes, miss.
Miss Burton?
Yes.
Miss Burton?
Lydia, when I look at your exercise book, I groan in spirit. Did you eat fish and chips all over this?
No, Miss Burton. Just chips.
I thought so. Look, no punctuation. 17 crossings out. At the same time, Lydia, you've got imagination. And you've got sense, too. This is the finest essay from a girl your age that I have ever read.
Oh, Miss Burton. Thank you, Miss Burton.
There's the lunch bell. Rest of you, pick up your notebooks. Hurry along now.
Get out, you sneak thief. Don't think I want anything from your filthy old locker. Fish and chips. Oh, look what she did. Oh, she put a mouse in my locker.
What does this mean? Be quiet, all of you.
She said I was a sneak thief.
She put a mouse in my locker. I don't want to hear anything about it. Midge, go and wash your face. Lydia, come along with me. Now, Lydia, sit down. Would you like a glass of milk?
Yes. Oh, please, Miss Burton.
Right there. Now, help yourself. Lydia, listen to me. You must be nicer to Midge Kahn.
Yes, Miss Burton.
You think because she lives in a big house and you live in the shacks that you'll get a little of your own back. Isn't that it?
Yes, Mum.
Midge is a proud little creature. She hasn't had your luck to be brought up rough in a big family. She has no mother. No brothers or sisters. Do you understand?
Yes, Mama. I think I do.
Now, yes. Now, for goodness sake, try to tidy yourself up.
It's Mr. Holly, ma'am.
Dad, what are you doing here?
Excuse me, Miss Burton. I've come to take Liddy home. It's her mother. She's took bad. Doctor says she won't get better.
Dad, what's happened?
Well, let me drive you over in my car. Doctor, can't you get her to the hospital?
I'm afraid it's a little late for that, Miss Burton.
I'm fairly off the head with pain. Where's Liddy? Liddy, there.
I'm your mother. This is me.
I'm in for it, Lid. You'll have to let the parish bury me. And you'll have to quit your grand school to look after Dad and the kids.
Mother!
I'm sorry, Lid.
There, Lydia. Oh, there, 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 my dear. There, there.
Down in the shacks?
She's the most promising child I've ever taught. And unless we do something at once, she's leaving.
I suppose she must.
But she can't, Mrs. Beddoe. She loves the school. Children shouldn't see their worst fears realized. We've got to save her.
What do you want me to do?
If you can persuade the governors to give her a scholarship, I'll find a woman to look after the children.
You will?
Well, it's for my own sake. You don't get a girl like that in a school like mine, not once in 20 years.
If she's as fine as you say, this may make a woman of her.
A drudge. Oh, it's monstrous that I should lose my only brilliant pupil while a selfish, indolent girl like Midge Kahn must be with me till the end of time.
Mrs. Bellows, I seem to have arrived. at an opportune moment. Do you always leave your door open?
Miss Burton didn't mean what she said.
I always mean what I say.
Is all of the South Riding to be reorganized to benefit the Hollies? You're something of a busybody, aren't you, Miss Burton?
If that's what you think of me, I can't understand why you let me teach your daughter. I assure you it's no privilege to have her. She's without exception the most tiresome, hysterical, worst-mannered child I've ever had to deal with.
You're asking me to remove my daughter?
I should be delighted. Really, we can do quite well without her, or without her father on the board.
That matter hardly rests on your choice.
I do love your notion of official behavior. If you knew how funny you look.
Eh?
Now, there's a bug crawling up your collar.
Blast you, woman.
Goodbye, Mr. Carn. Mrs. Beddoes.
Well, I must say, what are you going to do, Robert?
But Midge, let her stay there, of course. That woman's done wonders for her these past few months.
Robert, why, I really believe you like Miss Burton.
Don't you know that she's a grand person? I wouldn't miss quarreling with her for anything.
All winter long, I amused myself by hating Robert Carr. I should never have supposed that he was pleasant or kind or gracious, or that he'd ever be my friend. But when spring came to the meadows of South Riding, I walked a moonlit road one night to see the hawthorn trees in bloom. And then began a strange adventure. In the shadows close by the road, there was a stable, and I could hear an animal in desperate pain.
Oh, you here.
I'm sorry if I startled you.
What are you doing in my shed?
Spring air, you know. I've been walking. I saw the lantern and heard the poor creature moaning.
A beast man's drunk. If the calf's to be born tonight, I've got to do it. You can't stay here. This is no place for a lady.
I'm not a lady. You forget my mother was a midwife and my father a blacksmith.
You'd best go home.
Why? The cow and I are both females.
Aye.
I was brought up to this sort of thing. You want help? Well, quickly, tell me what to do.
Good girl. You'll find some warm water over there. Take the big chair by the fire and drink your hot milk and whiskey.
Oh, lovely.
Are you frozen?
Frozen, soaked, and dead.
Wait a minute. Put this round you.
Thank you. Oh, goodness, 5 o'clock. Well, thank you for the pleasant evening.
I never could have managed without you, Sarah.
You know, this room is beautiful.
Aye, it has dignity in the half-light of the fire and the candle flame. It's not so pretty, but hey, this big house is crumbling to pieces over my head.
That portrait over the mantel. How strange she is. Her eyes.
She was the loveliest woman I have ever known.
Is it your wife? When did you lose her?
Well, I haven't lost her. Now, don't you understand that she isn't dead? I haven't lost her.
I see.
Muriel. I loved her from our first meeting. Her beauty and her courage and her laughter, you know. But I never really understood her. She was always a stranger to me. She was like some wild thing, reckless and enchanted. She roared like the wind and danced and went her own way. But first it was travel. Biarritz, Monte Carlo, Baden-Baden, Vienna. We lived extravagantly, hunting all winter. Fishing sometimes in Norway. I could afford it those days, and I was happy. But when Midge was born, all that changed. Muriel lost her balance. Poor beauty. And since then, she's been shut away. I blame myself. She didn't want the child.
Oh, how terrible.
Perhaps she never even loved me. I don't know. I shall never know. But I loved her, and that was enough. Since then, I've mortgaged Maythorpe, stinted my daughter's education, drained the farm to the last penny, let the house go to rack and ruin to see that she has every luxury of treatment and comfort that money can buy.
Oh, she isn't beautiful now. After 14 years. I won't fail her, though, if I have to sacrifice everything.
I must go. You're very tired. You need rest.
Oh, but, pardon, you let me drive you.
No, no, Robert, it's only a step. Just come to the door with me.
All right.
I think I understand you a little better than I have before.
Thank you, Sarah.
Why, there, look, it's morning.
Right.
There's just a few stars. Far and fragile.
Aye. The South Riding. Spring is coming to life. The soil is dark and fragrant and strong with youth. I love this land.
So do I. Good morning, my friend.
Good morning, Sarah.
From Studio One, radio's celebrated playhouse of dramatic entertainment, you are hearing Mr. Charles Laughton starring in South Riding, a version for listening by Brainerd Duffield of the Winifred Holtby novel. Studio One will resume after the customary pause for station identification. This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System. From Studio One, we continue tonight's full-hour dramatic entertainment. Mr. Charles Laughton stars in Fletcher Markle's production of South Riding by Winifred Holtby.
And west under the summer sun lay the green fields of South Riding. Sleepy streams flowed to the sea. Bells in steeples rang. Larks sang on high. And in the county hall, there was poetry of a different order. Here was the source of high roads and drainage systems, bridges and hospitals, hopes and ambitions. And here, each day, went Mr. Robert Kahn to fight for progress, as best he understood.
Mr. Kahn has the floor.
Members of the council, I know that I have a reputation here for obstructing progress. I am a gentleman farmer, a survival of the feudal system. Mr. Snaith has said that I would, if I could, make the moon stand still. But I venture to say that in this matter before us, I am as progressive as any other man. I do endorse slum clearance. I should like to see the shacks destroyed. But at the same time, a question occurs to me. Now I am addressing the supporters of this scheme. What site has been chosen for the new cottages?
Mr. Snaith will reply.
Why, none has been chosen. Surely even Councillor Kahn must realize that to select a site at this time would be folly. If a location were made public, values would go up, speculators would take advantage of...
I submit. Either there is no site chosen, in which case we are asked to vote for a purely nebulous proposal,
Or there is a sight secretly chosen, and somebody intends to profit by it.
Mr. Chairman, may I not be protected from this sort of sarcasm?
I feel that Mr. Khan's remark is not in good taste.
I had hoped to take part in this controversy, but very well, I shall say no more.
It's not a very handsome place, is it, Mrs. Brimsley?
I've never seen a worse. But I can make it shine, you'll see.
Hello.
Oh, Lydia. Is your father at home? I've brought someone to meet him.
They're all home. Come in, Miss Burton.
Thank you.
Dad, company.
Why, Miss Burton, what brings you here?
Well, you remember, Mr. Holly, I promised a housekeeper for you. Well, here she is.
The Widow Brimsley?
Yes, I've come to do for you, Mr. Holly.
Well, strike me up a gum tree. This is a bit of all right, this is. Lyd, give us a cup of cocoa just for company, like.
Yes, Dad.
And Lydia, thanks to Mrs. Beddoes, I have a scholarship for you. You'll be coming back to school again.
Oh, but who'll look after the children?
Papa and I will, if you let me. Oh, I'm a grand cook, too. Wait till you taste my steak and kidney pudding.
And a fine, bonny-looking woman, don't I know it?
I like your sauce.
Lydia, are you glad to be coming back to school?
Oh, Miss Burton, I don't know what to say. I don't know how to thank you.
Lydia's a real skull. Takes after her dad, you know. Lyd, look to the baby. He's frothing like a bottle of beer.
Oh. Yes, Dad.
Now, Mrs. Brimsley, what do you think of your new household?
Well, there's pigsties and pigsties, but this here's a pigsty with knobs on.
Tomorrow, by way of celebration, I'd like to take all of you to the Flinton Bridge Fair.
We were riding horses on the roundabouts, and wasn't it grand?
I'd like some spice bread and lemonade. Suppose you all come along to the refreshment tent.
Oh,
hey, there's Robert Carr and Airfop selling his sheep for what they'll bring.
Hey, that one.
He's not but an has-been altogether.
Aye.
You can't keep going and never pay your debts. Especially when your wife's in asylum.
Aye. Next thing, bank will foreclose. Then where'll he be?
And what am I bid now on this seat, gentlemen? I hear 40 shillings. I hear 40. Does some gentleman bid 40?
Might as well give them away. Hey, Castle?
Aye. Check will be a small one, sir.
Look who's coming here. My old friend, Smith.
Ah, Mr. Khan. I'd like you to meet a new tenant of mine, Mr. Dolan, Mr. Khan.
How do you do?
Mr. Dolan is greatly interested in local government.
That's right.
And he's made up his mind to oppose you in the coming election for council.
Has he now?
That's right.
He's on t'other side of the fence politically. People's rights and real democracy.
That's right.
Now look here, Mr. Dolan. You're wasting your time, you know. Maythorpe residents have been voting for my family for centuries.
All good things come to an end. The old order changes. Isn't that so, Mr. Dolan?
That's right.
Well, we'll be moving on. But I wanted you two chaps to meet and exchange ideas. Good day.
Well, Castle, what do you make of that, eh?
If you ask me, sir, there's summat to it. Folk will be voting for Snaith, man. Wait and see.
My own neighbors, my own village.
Folk are saying you can't starve farm for 10 years and have it. They say you haven't done your duty by the land.
Aye, they'll vote for Dolan, eh?
If you were to let me go and you be your own foreman, work your own land, any rate, you'd save my wages.
I'm sorry to hear you say that, Castle. You've been at Maythorpe how many years?
My 30 years, sir. And I mean you no harm. But when election comes, you'll find folks at Maythorpe are no better than they sheep in fold.
What am I bid? A pound of peace for good fat lasters. Come now, what do I hear? Come now.
So this is what it's come to, eh?
Come
trouble is that I can't make on horses what I lose on sheep these days.
We understand that, Mr. Khan, but the Trust Company, far from wanting to increase your mortgage, is anxious to call it an altogether. Why don't you try the bank at Kiplinton?
It's too bad, Mr. Khan.
Snaith has his knife in me. He loves me like a weasel loves a rabbit.
Ah, but that's how it is. Bank holds mortgage, and the bank's in Snaith's pocket. Why don't you try Manchester?
Sorry, Mr. Khan. I know your family's been at Maythorpe since Battle of Hastings, but William the Conqueror's name is no good on the back of an overdraft.
That's true enough. Well, thank you. I'm afraid you were my very last hope. I beg your pardon. Could you direct me to the Royal Brunswick Hotel?
You're right in front of it, sir. If it weren't for the fog, you...
Oh.
Oh. Robert Khan, what are you doing in Manchester?
I was about to ask the same of you. Hey, but I'm glad to see you.
Oh, well, isn't this lucky? I'm up for a day of shopping. Just couldn't bear the school another minute.
I was going to have a glass of sherry. Will you join me?
Well...
Or better yet, we might have dinner together.
You know... I think I'd like that very much.
Come along with you.
Potted palms and a string orchestra. What could be more elegant?
Sarah, you do have a knack of turning up at the right time.
No, I haven't really seen you since the midnight hijinks with the cow.
Oh, it's good to see you. Here's the wine. Well, here we are. You know, the wines are bound to be bad here.
I don't mind. I'm as happy as can be. Here's to romance.
Romance? A third-rate dinner in a second-rate hotel with a bankrupt farmer?
Not at all. I'm a spinster school teacher on holiday, drinking wine and spending the evening with a gentleman. Very romantic episode.
I'd forgotten that you were a schoolteacher.
Well, thank you, Robert.
Well, the brandy's passable at least.
Yes.
Will you have a little more?
No, just coffee now. I've drunk more than is seemly for a schoolmarm.
Ah, we have been frightfully jolly, haven't we? You know, I don't feel jolly a bit. I feel like telling you my troubles.
Well, tell me then.
Do you believe in curses?
What kind of curses?
When I ran away with my wife, her mother cursed me. Muriel's not well, you know. She's in her home.
Yes, I know it all.
She hasn't recognized me in over 10 years. Sometimes I think I'm going mad myself.
Well, I've never met anyone more sane.
You don't know me. You don't know how I crack up in emergencies, how they've got me down.
No, they haven't.
They have got me down. I've been about all day trying to borrow money. It's a grim business, and I can't hold on much longer. They'll sell Maythorpe over me, Ed. Muriel doesn't know me, and... You'd prefer not to be here with a so-called gentleman and a so-called farmer.
Robert, please.
I'm giving you a dreadful evening.
No.
Not a dreadful evening?
No.
You don't believe me?
No, Robert. I shall remember tonight until I die.
But what I say is true. I'm old, I'm tired, I'm lonely, and I'm finished.
You're not to say such things. You are the most honest and courageous man that I've ever known.
Do you mean that?
I do mean it.
Sarah, if you knew how much it has meant to me these past few months, just knowing that you were near.
Robert.
Excuse me, sir. Are you Mr. Khan?
Yes.
There's this wire, sir. Just came off the telephone.
Thank you.
Bad news?
Trying to reach you all day. Mrs. Khan asking for you. I'm afraid I shall have to leave for the nursing home at once.
Oh.
I'm sorry, Mr. Carr.
I was too late. She doesn't know me now. How long was she herself?
Several hours.
And she asked for me by name?
Yes, constantly.
After waiting all these years and now to fail her.
Mr. Carr, may I speak quite frankly? Wouldn't it be better for you to put your wife in some public institution?
What do you mean?
She'd be well looked after, and the charges here are very high. If there were any hope of a cure, I shouldn't suggest it, but in your wife's case...
You're trying to suggest that I'm behindhand in her payments. Why don't you say so?
It's not that. You know we trust you absolutely.
I shan't let her down. My wife will stay here to the end.
Of course, Midge is welcome to stay with me. But it's not like you, Robert, to cut and run like this.
Why shouldn't I cut and run, Mrs. Beddoes? My family's had this house for generations, but that's no reason we should stay forever.
Robert, I remember great days at Maythorpe. And now see it. You've sold everything. Furniture, paneling, silver, portraits.
Museums took that stuff.
I can forgive that. But never run from danger. Never shirked responsibility. And now to resign from the council and let that upstart Dolan take your place without putting up a fight.
Mrs. Beddoes, let us not discuss it. I am going abroad to settle a few things, and Midge will stay with you till I return.
Very well.
I want to ask you something. I've been talking to my solicitors. If anything happened to me, would you be Midge's guardian?
My dear Robert, I'm 72, old enough to be your mother.
I dare say, but you're young enough in spirit. Will you promise?
Of course. I'd do anything. I don't think you know how fond I am of you.
Perhaps I do.
I'm ready now to go with Mrs. Beddoes, Dad.
Hello, Midge. Got your bags all packed?
Yes, Dad.
Then be off, both of you, before that storm breaks. Will you be happy, Midge?
Oh, yes. And I'm to have Lydia Holly to spend vacations with me, aren't I, Mrs. Beddoes?
If you like, my dear.
It's only that I hate to see you go away, Dad. Must you go?
Goodbye. Run along now, won't you? I've got a lot of things to do.
Mrs. Brimsley.
How do, Miss Burton? Making up for a shower, I should say.
Yes. How are things at the Holly household?
Oh, just grand.
Good. Well, I'm just going into this little shop to buy a pack of cigarettes.
Oh, go right ahead, dear. Secret safe with me. I'll never tell a soul.
Thank you. Good day, Mrs. Brimsley.
I tell you, I haven't got it, Bessie.
Oh, yes, you have.
I haven't got a penny.
Yes, you have, Alfred Oggins. Don't tell me. Everyone knows you're in cash over this housing thing.
Now you be quiet.
Haven't you and Snaith been buying up the Westland, Aunt Sly? Aye, you have.
Shh, do you want the old town to hear? I'll send you what I can.
Good afternoon.
Oh, how do you do, Miss Burton? Customer out front, Bessie. Just paying a little visit to one of my flock, you know.
Well, you're always up to some good work, Mr. Huggins.
The harvest is large, but the reapers are few. Good day.
What'll it be, miss?
Pack of cork tip, please.
Black Hussar was my favorite horse, Castle.
I'll give him good care, sir.
I'm very glad that you're to have him.
And I've paid all the men up, sir, like you said.
Goodbye, and thank you, Castle. I'm going to have a last look around South Moor.
Miss, I thought I recognized you coming up drive. Mr. Carn has gone out that wood on South Moor.
In this rain?
Aye, miss. He took his gun with him.
His gun? Robert! Oh, I'm glad I found you.
Sir.
I had the most a dreadful feeling at the house just now. Then when I saw you leaning against the tree, I thought that you'd come out here to do away with yourself. It was true, then.
Everything's gone. If something were to happen to me in an accident, there needs to be insurance to take care of her and Midge.
You have no right to take your life for any reason.
I have no right to stay alive.
Then people were right about you. I should have suspected it. You're a coward and a quitter.
Now, please, Sarah, don't. I've fought with them and lost it all.
Oh, but you're wrong.
I am not wrong.
Robert, the fight's not finished. Listen to me. Robert, you knew, didn't you, when you opposed the housing plan, that Hoggins and Slate were buying up land to make money out of it?
What you say? I suspected that.
I've got proof. And you are going to do something about it.
Mr. Huggins, come here, please.
Yes, Mrs. Beddoes. What can I do for you now?
Step into my office for a moment, Mr. Huggins.
I can't spare much time. I have to second the motion, you know. Astell's housing scheme. Hello, what's this? You here, Mr. Kahn? Oh, and you, Miss Burton?
We meet again, Mr. Huggins. Everywhere I go today, I seem to meet you.
You know, what's going on? I'd like to know.
Just turn the key in the lock, Mrs. Beddoes.
A very good idea. There.
Thank you. You'd better sit down, Huggins.
I can't stay here. I've got to second the motion.
We would like you to answer two or three questions, and then you may go.
I'm not used to being treated this way, and I'd advise you to let me go.
I'll advise you to sit down, Mr. Huggins.
Now, Mr. Snaith, where's your precious Huggins got to?
Oh, he'll be here, never worry.
I'd better be.
He'd never miss chance to make a speech, Astell. You can be sure of that. And a fine oratorical business it'll be, too. Full of biblical quotations.
Well, I don't see him, and it's nearly time.
Don't worry, man. Everything will go smoothly.
No, I must say I've never seen you in better humor.
The only face I miss is Robert Kahn's. I'd like to see the expression on his face when the vote is taken.
The County Council of South Riding is now in session.
You've no business to say such things to me, Mr. Kahn. I'm a well-known citizen, I am, and a member of the church. Now let me go. I have to be there.
You're going in, Mr. Huggins. And tell the council members exactly what you've told me.
I can't do it. I can't. Oh, my conscience.
And in our housing village, there will be gardens with fruit and vegetables, green plots for children to play in, an hospital, a school, a library. Surely in the 20th century, we can afford this much for our citizens?
I now call upon Councillor Huggins to second the motion. Is Mr. Huggins here?
He's just coming in, sir.
Mr. Huggins will now address the council.
Members of the council, ladies, gentlemen, friends, very pleased to second the motion.
Why? Why? Why do you second the motion, Mr. Huggins?
Mr. Chairman, I must protest against this interruption.
Mr. Kahn has the floor.
Tell the council why you second the motion, Mr. Huggins. Tell us, Huggins, did you or did you not use your knowledge to engage in land deals?
Snaith! He made me do it. He did it, Snake.
What? Oh, you blundering fool. What, you fool? You murderer. What's it?
Mr. Astell. Mr. Astell has the floor.
Mr. Chairman, I knew nothing of this. Nothing. I apologize to the council. I have no choice but to withdraw the bill.
Mr. Chairman, I have only admiration for Mr. Astell. And I hereby move that the council declare a vote of confidence and approve his measure in principle. Yeah! I would also like to say that if the Housing Committee wishes, Maythorpe Estate is available to them for the price of the mortgage. Hello there.
How many today?
Three couple of twins, five singletons, and one lot of triplets.
Oh, what a darling little black one.
Well, come on, Sarah, let's walk up the hill a bit. It's much too noisy down here.
All right. Well, you're looking very well, Robert.
I am well. You know, Sarah, I'm contented now.
That's good.
I've kept this cottage and a few acres of ground, and I have time for things that matter. My people began here in South Riding with a plot of earth like this. But I have nearly lost the touch of the soil. This earth is so rich and so green and full of promise.
I'm happy for you.
Sarah, I want to tell you about Muriel.
Your wife?
Aye, she's gone at last. Quite peacefully last week. I didn't want anyone to find out all those condolences, you know.
I understand.
So now I am dependent on your friendship more than ever.
My friendship, Robert. And my love.
Sarah, I thank God for you.
And in the South Riding, life goes on. And seed time and harvest and cold and heat and summer and winter and day and night shall not cease.
From Studio One at CBS, you have just heard Mr. Charles Laughton starring in Fletcher Markle's production of South Riding by Winifred Holtby, another of the world's great stories from radio's celebrated playhouse of dramatic entertainment. Tonight's script was prepared by Brainerd Duffield. The original musical score was composed by Norman Lockwood and conducted by Alexander Semler. Now again, Mr. Markle.
May a producer identify the principals in our cast tonight. In the foreground,
Robert Kahn
was played, of course, by Charles Laughton, who may currently be seen in the Paramount picture, The Big Clock.
Sarah Burton
was played by Hester Sondergaard.
Mr. Snaith
was Everett Sloan.
Mr. Huggins
was Hedley Rennie.
Mrs. Beddoes
was played by Alice John. Actively assisting in our large cast tonight were Naomi Campbell, Neil Fitzgerald, Guy Spohr, Horace Braham, Mary Michael, Miriam Wolfe, Gregory Morton, Peter Boyne, Pat Ryan, Betty Filson, Ronnie Liss, and Ivor Francis. Next week on Studio One, an intense and perceptive story of life within the private, isolated world of a mental hospital. To play Jane Everest, the psychiatrist in Phyllis Batome's novel, Private Worlds, we welcome back to our microphone one of Hollywood's most gracious and gifted stars, Miss Madeline Carroll. We hope you'll be with us. And now until next week, until Private World starring Madeline Carroll, this is Fletcher Markle with a good night and thank you from all of us in Studio One.
This is Lee Vines, and this is CBS, where 99 million people gather every week. The Columbia Broadcasting System.